Praise God. I want to again thank the elders for having me here this morning. And I want to thank you in advance for your attention. I understand there was somebody here who speaks French. Normally, you know, I try something when I come up here, but not today. I've always been chided because I say the wrong thing. You know, even if I try to say bonjour, somebody's going to tell me it's not that. And Rianne is, you see? Rianne says, no, not that. So let me stick to English. Praise God. And Sister Dalton, I think you had something wrong there. You said four scores. You made a mistake. It's two score. What are you trying to say? You were really trying to say four score? She knows it's four score? Anyhow, praise God. You look very well. You're still here. I want to be like you when I get big. Praise God. I would want to get some support from the congregation this morning because I'm going to say some words that I normally get tripped up on. Ahasuerus. I don't know why. Whenever it comes to saying that, Brother Ray, I just trip up and I say the wrong thing. My tongue gets twisted. So if you hear me stumbling on it, you just say, what? After four. You just say three, four. See, well, you're leaving me alone. Again, one more time. Three, four. Ahasuerus. Three, four. Right. So when you see me tripping, if you see me tripping on that, you just go there. Whenever you see the words in whatever color, I think it's in gold or something, for such a time as this, that's your cue to say the words. Is that okay? For such a time as this. We're going to practice that quickly again. Three, four, four. I solicit your prayers for my daughter, in particular my daughter, Rianne, who is going to be graduating next week. She had the honors program this week passed, and she's going to graduate. She's going to move up to another level with additional responsibilities, so to speak. So I would want your prayers in particular for that. We are here again on medical visits as well. And so far, Lydia has had an operation, and I would ask for your prayer with regard to the operation and other operations to come. Praise God. Just as Mordecai placed Esther, God has placed us here. Caught you sleeping there. So that's our proposition this morning. That's where we're going with this. I'm going to say it again. Just as Mordecai placed Esther, God has placed us here. I would like to assure you that God has each of us here for a particular purpose. Is there anyone who doesn't believe that? God has everyone here for his particular purpose. I'm going to try to restrict myself to this area because I know I give the camera people real trouble when I come here sometimes. Because I've seen some of the videos. There's like no preacher up here, but you're hearing my voice. But I know he'll keep me straight this morning. I would like to encourage you to fulfill that purpose. Allow me to underscore. Just as Mordecai placed Esther, God has placed us here for time as this. Praise God. Now, this morning, God is just going to give you an appetizer through me. This thing is for you to go home and to continue reading. I know many of you have read already these 10 chapters in Esther. But I want to ask you to go and read it again. And see what more you can get out of it. Because certainly this is just going to be an appetizer. And there's a lot more in this than we will discuss at this point. If I would fully explain the entire book, I know we'd be here perhaps until next Sunday. So I want to send you home on time. I don't even know what time I'm supposed to send you home, but let me hustle on. A little background. This account, like all other scripture, is about Jesus. It's about Jesus and his redemptive work that saves those who submit to him. That is what this book, all books in the Old Testament, the books of the New Testament, the Bible is his story of redemption. So don't be surprised if everything really points to Jesus. While most scholars see Esther as the type of Christ in this narrative, while most scholars see Esther as the figure representing Christ, because you know whenever we read, especially the Old Testament, we want to ask ourselves, where is Christ in this story? While most scholars see Christ, Esther as the type of Christ, and while I'm not denying the likeness, there's clearly a likeness of Christ in Esther, I see also Mordecai as a fitting foreshadow. Therefore, for the purpose of this sermon, we would be looking at Mordecai as the main figure of Christ in this passage. We're not taking anything away from Esther, because she had a big, in fact, I mean, it's an understatement to say she had a big part to play in this. I don't want Mommy Grant starting to say, well, yes. Big up the man, you know? And that's not what this is about. I'm just trying to be faithful to this text. The story begins in Ahasuerus' winter palace in Susa. The king provides a lavish banquet and a display of royal glory for the people of Susa and proudly seeks to make Queen Vashti's beauty a part of the program. I pause. Now, we pronounce some of the names a little differently where I come from. I know some people are probably Vashti. Are there Vashti people here? Anybody with Vashti? No? Everybody's Vashti? Okay, so we're good. All right. So he wanted to make Queen Vashti's beauty part of the whole thing. And you can see it. I mean, the man has a beautiful wife. And he wants to show off his wife. He's having a big event. Was it 7 days? He's having a big event and he wants to show off his wife. But guess what? When he calls Vashti, if it was a Trinidadian who wasn't willing to come, she would have said, you trying to papi show me or what? What am I? And that was the kind of attitude she may have had. So when she refuses to appear, the king is counseled to depose of her and seek another queen, because it is feared that the other woman will become insolent if Vashti goes unpunished. Enter Esther, who later finds favor in the eyes of Ahasuerus and wins the royal beauty pageant. At her cousin Mordecai's instructions, she does not reveal that she is Jewish. With her help, Mordecai is able to warn the king of an assassination plot, and his deed is recorded in the palace records. So I don't think they reached as far as shooting any part of his ear or anything, but they tried, apparently there was a plot to assassinate him. It did not even reach where they shot part of his ear. They had real intelligence. Meanwhile, Haman, as far as I'm concerned, a figure of Satan in this narrative, becomes captain of the princes. But Mordecai refuses to bow to him. When he learns that Mordecai is Jewish, Haman plots for a year to eliminate all Jews as his rage and hatred grew. This plot was mainly to ensure that Mordecai dies. Does that remind you of anything? You want to kill a whole heap of people to try to get at one person. Does that remind you of anything? The bigger picture, though, was to disrupt the lineage of Jesus by saving the Jewish people. Mordecai also preserved the Davidic line as Jesus' lineage came through King David. Haman casts lots daily during this period until he determines the best day to have them massacred. Through bribery and lies, he convinces Ahasuerus to issue an edict that all Jews in the empire will be slain 11 months from then in a single day. Haman conceives his plot in envy and a vengeful spirit, and he executes it with malicious craft. The decree creates a state of confusion, and Mordecai asks Esther to appeal to the king to spare the Jews. That's our background. And again, I implore you to read this stuff. If there are especially young people here who love to read, and who love to read action stories, who love to you know, action and drama and that kind of stuff, then this is the thing to go to. And it's not so long, it's just 10 chapters. So if you're into reading, if you're not into reading, you jump into this and I assure you, you'll be into reading. Read this thing. So don't leave this like this. And when you read it, I will put my numbers up there when we are finished. When you read this, send me a WhatsApp text and tell me how it was for you. Is that okay? Mind you, if there's anything that I say from here that you have a question about, you can send me that WhatsApp and the numbers I will send you there as well. If there's something that you agree with, still send me a WhatsApp to say, yes, I endorse this. If there is something else you feel I needed to add, but I didn't, send me a WhatsApp. So either way, anyhow you take it, I expect about 100 WhatsApps by the time I reach home. Let us take the risk so that we and others could be saved because we are here. Let us take the risk so that we and others could be saved because we are here. People distressed. 3 PDs. People distressed. Our second point is going to be person discovered. Our third and final point is going to be people delivered. Let's jump right in with people distressed. Verses 1 to 3 of Esther chapter 4. When Mordecai learned all that had happened, he tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes and went out into the midst of the city. He cried out with a loud and bitter cry. He went as far as the front of the king's gate. This was almost a risk of this guy's life. In fact, because of this action, he received some negative attention, which put his life at risk. Does that resemble anything? He went as far as the front of the king's gate, for no one might enter the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province where the king's command and decree arrived, there was great mourning among the Jews with fasting, weeping, and wailing. And many lay in sackcloth and ashes. And may God bless this reading to our hearts for his name's sake. Mordecai knew of the impending Holocaust. He knew that something bad was coming. He knew that. He risked his life by defying Haman to save the people. Our Lord Jesus Christ knew man's fate. So he gave his life to save people. To be forewarned is to be forearmed. In our context, to be foretold is to be forearmed. So you are hearing it here this morning. You are being told ahead of time. Arm yourselves and do what you are supposed to do. Because of his knowledge of the prevailing circumstances, he was able, this is Mordecai, he was able to take evasive measures. He appealed to God. By the same token, we must appeal to God because there is something coming. We must appeal to God, advocating for others. We must be prepared to take a risk. Too many times we get so comfortable in our comfort zones. We need to be prepared to take a risk. There are even others who may not be saved. And as far as they are concerned, giving their lives to God is a risk. And yes, you could come into a lot of flack for giving your life to God. Yes, certainly. In years to come, if you live long enough, and if Christ does not put in his appearance, giving your life to God is going to be a risk. Are you prepared to take that risk? This morning, if there is someone here prepared to take that risk and give your life to God, if you have never given your life to God before, all you need to do is to confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and you'll be saved. The people mourned, and Mordecai was sensitive to their cries. You know, sometimes people all around you might be in problems, and you're numb to it. Well, not you, because I know I'm preaching to the choir this morning. Not the good folks of Good Tidings. But sometimes people are mourning, sometimes people are in trouble, sometimes people are in peril, and we are numb to the fact that they are in peril. But Mordecai knew. Mordecai was sensitive to that. And again, I remind you, if you are here and you're not saved, Jesus is seeing your distress. And he wants to save you today. We can learn, you know, so much from this passage. You know, as I said before, it will probably take us over a week to fully, you know, deal with this passage. But I want to focus on just a few things. And I'm starting with the first one. People distressed. Are we aware of the wrath to come? Sometimes I interact with Christians. And sometimes I interact with people who are not saved. And I could tell that they are not aware that there's wrath to come. Because some of us, we have classmates who are not saved. And it's like business as usual. It doesn't seem to affect us that our classmates are not saved. Sometimes we have family members who are not saved. And it's like business as usual. No problem. But are we aware? Are we aware that there's wrath to come? If you're not saved, are you aware that there's wrath to come? It is urgent action. Is urgent action therefore needed today? I'm asking you. Is it that there's urgent action that's called for today? Yes. If you're not saved, you need to urgently get saved. And if you're saved, you need to urgently be telling others about this Christ and what he has done for us. It can't be business as usual. Are people around us going to hell? Are we sensitive enough to the feelings of hopelessness and mourning of the people who are in peril? As the coming of Jesus is soon, but not yet, so that perhaps our unbelieving family members and friends could have further opportunities to hear and repent. Forth-tellers need to be awake. Forth-tellers need to be awake. Let us plant seeds. Let us water what has been already planted. What does that look like? It means that as we go, we need to be telling people about this Jesus. It means that as we go, we need to be peddling the gospel. What do I mean by as we go? Do I mean when we are in church? Is that what I mean? We need to wake up. We need to open our eyes, you know. I love a responsive church because sometimes I ask real questions. For real, I'm really talking to you. I'm not up here preaching. I'm really talking to you. What does that look like? Does that mean if I'm on the subway, I should look for an opportunity to share something with somebody? Does it mean that when I go to school, people should, one, know that I'm a Christian, and two, there should be some attempt. You're not going to shove anything down anybody's throat. That's not what we're talking about. But you're looking for the opportunity. You're listening for the conversation. You're looking for the leg in to say something. Because if we don't say something, they're going to perish. So plant. Plant seeds. Water. You see, after we have a big evangelistic effort here in Good Tidings, and I'm sure I've seen some of it already. I've seen you in the yard. I've seen videos even before I started coming here. I've seen videos of Good Tidings in the yard there with a street meeting. I've seen videos of that, and I'm sure there is something coming up because summer's coming. So I'm sure that something is coming up. When that is through, it's not through. When that is over, it's not over. That's when we now begin to go out now to these people's homes and water what was planted. Is that okay? Now, I preached similar to the way I'm preaching here now. And the church or churches that I preached to was like, amen! Yes, sir, 3 bags full! And then the elders say, okay, we're going to have an evangelistic effort where we go into the community and we meet people and we go door to door. And then 3 people turn up. But that's not good tidings. That's not good tidings. I'm seeing Brother Rodney there. He's eager and waiting to go. He just wants to hear the word go. And he's gone. Let us appeal to God for the increase. So plant, water, and appeal to God for the increase. Let us take the risk so that we and others could be saved. Because we are here. Well, there is a little bit of noise now. Second, person discovered from verses 10 to 14. Esther 4, 10 to 14. Then Esther spoke to Hathach and gave him a command for Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that any man or woman who goes into the inner court to the king who has not been called, he has but one law. Put all to death except the one to whom the king holds out the golden scepter, and he may live, that he may live. Yet I myself have not been called to go into the king these 30 days. So they told Mordecai Esther's words. And Mordecai told them to answer her, to answer Esther. Do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom? Praise God. Esther was discovered as the person to act. Hello. Esther was discovered as the person to act. You know, God always puts people in place. But at that point, I don't think that Esther knew that she was there for such a time as that. It is not by accident you have been placed. It's not by accident that you are here this morning. It's not by accident that you have been placed in this church. It's not by accident that you have been placed in the school that you are in. It's not by accident that you are placed on that job, on that team. Anybody playing sports here? Anybody playing sports here? One, two playing sports. Three people playing, four people playing sports. Five. Only young people play sports? Where's Brother Eric? All right, he isn't here, but I'm sure Brother Eric play a little thing too. But on that team, it's not by accident that he placed you on that team. You are there for such a time as this. It's not by accident that he placed you in that gym. Well, I don't want to ask who goes to the gym because I see a lot of buff people here. You know? But it's not by accident that he placed you in that gym. Can it be that you are here for such a time as this? Even if you are here or listening on Zoom, trying to see who on Zoom now. Even if you're here or trying to listen or listening on Zoom, and if you're not saved, God has something for you to do that begins with confessing with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believing in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. Can it be that you're here on Zoom? Can it be that you're here in this church for such a time as this? No. Esther was afraid of the risk. This was no joke. This girl could have been killed very easily. However, avoiding the risk was no guarantee of her safety. So when God calls you, as I said before, it perhaps involves some measure of risk. If you are not saved, avoiding the risk of committing to God would land you in hell. What are some of the risks involved in speaking up and being a witness? Maybe you will get a warning letter on the job. I remember having a job at the youth camp. I was a camp director, and I was required, Brother Wilson, to work some Sundays. I am not in church Sunday morning, so guess what? When I'm on camp, we have church. But one of my colleagues told me, hey, you're not supposed to preach the trainees. You can't do that. Sister Arlene, who tell me that? Every Sunday was church as long as I am bored. It was a risk. It was a risk. I remember being called to pray in the ministry. And now those of you who are Trinidadians know we have all kind of fancy ministries now. You know, with effect from yesterday. But they asked me to pray. And Brother Ray, I prayed in Jesus' name. Said, no, don't pray in that name. Don't pray in that name. You disenfranchise people. I said, well, if I don't pray in that name, I am being disenfranchised. I took a risk. What are some of the risks? Victimization at school? Let's see how much slap this Christian boy could take. Let's see how many times he'll turn the other cheek. Is that a risk? Rejection by your peers? Being challenged? Being bullied? You know something? All of those risks were present even though I may not have been ministering or witnessing. The risk was still there. So even if you are not witnessing, even if you are not preaching, even regardless, the risks are still there. You know something else? I'm seeing here that Esther was not indispensable. Did you see that? Did you see that she was not indispensable? When God's messengers fail to act, he can either give them a Jonah experience or discard them and find somebody else. I remember being called to full-time service, and don't look at me as any hero, because I'm still not. People look at me and say, oh, he's a real brave boy. He stepped out in full-time service. No, I was afraid. It was over 10 years God had been calling me before I stepped up. Because I was afraid. I was afraid of losing my salary. And there were people who told me I want to say this carefully. Fellow Christians, let me put it that way. Told me, don't give up your good work. The church ain't gonna mind you. And they're right. Church isn't minding me. God is. We do have a salary. And my daughter is graduating next week, God willing. No student loan. Praise God. Esther was convinced eventually to take the risk. And this I'm taking a risk right now by continuing without knowing what time to finish. Esther was convinced to take the risk, but she listened. She went before the king. And she said, if I found favor in your sight, O king, and if it pleases the king, let my life be given me at my petition and my people at my request. And she went on. I can't read all of it. She spoke up. Aye, aye, aye. She spoke up. And Haman, this guy built a gallows. He built a gallows. And I suspect by the language used there, it was taller than usual. He built a gallows to hang Mordecai. And when Esther was finished with the king, you've got to read this thing, you know, because I am not doing justice to it. I am not doing justice to it. This man, it says in verse 10 of 7, so they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. You ever say anything like that? She spoke up. Although the person behind the plot was removed, the situation still existed. The edict was still in place to kill all the Jews. However, half the job was done. She was there for such a time as this. The ones specially gifted and who have a special calling must act. Yes, they must act. However, there is a responsibility for us all to act. What about you? What about you? How much are you prepared to risk for the gospel? Or have we become too wise to risk our lives like Esther? You know, there's that place where we become so wise that, you know, it's like, no, that's not wisdom. We must be prepared to speak the word clearly so that souls will be saved from destruction of hell. So that people would know that if they confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that God raised him from the dead, they will be saved. So that gangs and that are terrorizing our communities may hear and be saved. So that Christians would be saved from spiritual infancy carnality, which deadens the spirit. Do not wait on a Jonah experience. If you talk to me after, I will tell you what my Jonah experience was. So it wasn't that I just wanted to come, so I just stepped out. I saw a Jonah experience coming, but that's for our personal chat. Do not let God find somebody else, because I am sure if I didn't step out, I am sure he'll find somebody else. Will you take the risk in spite of this world's advice? We just came out of COVID. 2022? No, 2020, we won't have any camps in 2020. We had just come out and we decided, hey, maybe we can have a camp. But in many places, camp? No! We're gonna die! If we have a camp, we die! But then I got a call from, who's from Union Island here? I got a call from St. Vincent. They called me and said, hey, we have in a camp. Come and be the speaker. I went to that camp. They did take precautions. Nobody died. But 20 people came to life. One third of the entire camp came to life, gave their lives to God, made spiritual decisions because we took a risk. Are you prepared to risk all against the advice of the 10 spies? The hand is too big. The giants, they're too tall. We can barely carry the fruit. People will chase us with their dogs. People will embarrass us if we speak to them. My friends wouldn't want to talk to me. It's not going to be a cool thing. Hello? Are you prepared to take the risks against the advice of the 10 spies? Do you recognize that you are here for such a time as this? Let us take the risk so that we and others could be saved because we are here for such a time as this. Let me hurry on. People delivered, and that's the final point here. Esther chapter 8 verses 11 to 14 or 11 to 17. By these letters, the king permitted the Jews who were in every city to gather together and protect their lives, to destroy, kill, and annihilate all the forces of any people or province that would assault them, both little children and women, and to plunder their possessions. In one day, all the provinces of the king, of King Ahasuerus, okay, I got caught that time. On the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, a copy of the document was to be issued as a decree in every province and published for all people so that the Jews would be ready on that day to avenge themselves on their enemies. The couriers who rode on royal horses, or rakash, that's the original word there, meaning swift beasts, went out, hastened, and pressed on by the king's command, and the decree was issued in Shushan, the citadel. So Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel, blue and white, with a great crown of gold. And this wasn't the man who was supposed to be hung. And a garment of fine linen and purple. And the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad. The Jews had light and gladness, joy and honor. And in every province and city, wherever the king's command and decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a holiday. Hear this. Then many of the people of the land became Jews because fear of the Jews fell upon them. You need to read this thing for yourself. The people were delivered. They got a decree, and with that, the confidence to protect their heritage. The message went out in haste, or rakash. They didn't look for the slowest little donkeys to ride and eventually reach where they're reaching. They went out and rakash. Swift beasts. Say rakash. Swift beasts. They went out on. They didn't waste time. And guess what? Conversions were made. God's truth will set us free as we tell forth God's promises and reveal his plans and prophecy. Fellow believers will be more confident and encouraged. Perhaps our work may impact our community so much that we will have an ease of the crime and lawlessness immediately around us. We must spread God's message expeditiously, with dispatch and urgency, with rakash, as we preach the word, as we witness, people would hear and be converted. I am sure those who are in lower classes than grade, was it lowest grade here? Grade one, there's elementary school here? I am sure people in grade one and below know I'm not talking to them. Is there anyone here in grade two, grade one, elementary school? Anybody can understand us here? Anybody? Yes? That's Grace? Who? Mercy, okay. Right, and Mercy is here. Mercy, yes. This is Grace. Renelle, this is Renelle and Mercy and Grace and this is for you. This is what you need to do. Yes, look at me. This is what you need to do. I'm talking to you now. This is what you need to do. You need to send this message out. You need to tell others about Jesus. Give them a round of applause, please. Oh, boy. Praise God. You need to be brave. You need to take a risk. Let us take a risk so that we and others could be saved because we are here. How would you respond? How would you respond this morning? Will you respond by saying, I will be sensitive to the distress of the people? Will you respond by saying, I'm going to give my life to God? Is there anybody who wants to give their life to God who has not yet given their life to God? Will you respond by saying, I will take the risk since I'm here? Is that you this morning? Anybody will say, I will operate expeditiously for the conversions of souls. If that is you, and you are making that commitment this morning, then please share that with someone else. Send me that number, Rodney Brown, there, that 868-363-336. WhatsApp me on that number, and let me know the good news. Let the elders here know. Let your leaders know. Something. May God bless you and infuse all things. Amen.
I guess the majority of us are here this morning or today. It's now in the afternoon for such a time like this. Praise God. You know, every Sunday morning when we come, there's a special reason why the majority of us are here for such a time, like a Sunday morning. We can come and praise the Lord, sing these wonderful songs, the prayers and everything that goes up for such a time like this. My brother, thank you. Thank you. Praise the Lord. And we have young children here. And you know the difference with some of these young children? I watched two little girl here over
yes.
For quite a few months singing.
Grace and Mercy.
And you know why they are doing it? Because they have father, mother, older brother and sister who are teaching them the things of the Lord.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let us close. Because we could... If you did come another day, maybe we could have used you a little longer, but we're going to have different meetings after this, okay? And as it was announced by my brother, that one of the meetings that we're going to have is for the believers in Christ. So if you're here today and you came with someone and you're not a member of Good Tidings and they have to take you home, we're going to ask you to stay over at the fellowship hall. I believe... I'm not 100% sure, but I believe there are food over there that you can eat while we're having the believers' meeting. Amen? Amen. I didn't hear enough amen. Do we have food over there? Okay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let us close in prayer. Eternal God and Father, once again, we just want to praise and to magnify your name. Lord God and Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercies. We thank you for your grace. Lord God, we remember at the baptism of your Son, our Savior, There were voices, and one of the voices said, "This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Praise be to God." Lord God and Father, we thank you for your servant as he delivers his message. Lord God and Father, we thank you for each and everyone who come this morning, today. It's for a special reason why we are here. And Lord God and Father, help us that the things that we have heard, the things that we did, and the things that will be done, that it is being done under your name. And we pray, O God, that if anything was said or is going to be said that is not pleasing to you, we ask you to forgive us. But help us, O God, that as we have especially our family meeting that will be coming up within a little while, that everything that is discussed, O God, that your name will be praised and glorified. Lord God and Father, we give you thanks. We give you praise. We give you all the honor and the glory that is joined to your matchless name. We ask all these things in no other name but in the precious name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless.